Good evening.
Good evening.
Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I will read verses 1 to 16. Therefore, I, prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves carried about every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in a deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I have a question to all of you. Have you ever thought of attending a perfect church? I have a suggestion for you. Don't ever attend. Because if you or me attend, it might become imperfect. But I have a good news for you this evening. You can be a part of a great church. The good news is, you can be part of a great church. So this evening I want to talk good to great. The marks of a great church from this Ephesians 4 chapter 1 to 16. The marks of a great church. What makes a good church a great church? Let me walk through a few churches here. Church 1. Okay. How is it? Amazing. Church 2. Church 3. Church 4. Okay. Which one do you think great church? I know you are tempted to say this. Agreed, it's a good church. But do you really think it's a great church? Let us put to a litmus test from Ephesians, this chapter 4, 1 to 16. The marks of a great church. What does a church make great from this Ephesians chapter 4, 1 to 16? Three marks I want to share from this. Okay. Three marks. Let's read verses 1 to 3. Therefore, I, prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Paul writes here, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. You got one call. You got one call. What is that call? If you see here, what is this calling Paul talks about? See, this is a word comes from a Greek word, kaleho, means to call aloud, utter in a loud voice, to invite, to call, that is to name. To call by name, to give a name to receive the name of, receive as a name, to give someone some name to one, call his name, to be called, to bear a name or title, or to salute one by name. We are giving a call. Okay. I don't know about Hans, what he's called. Maybe he's called as a sergeant or some soldier, right? He's called with a name or an invitation, calling loud. If some person calls you loudly with your name, say in Walmart, what happens? You will look, right? Who is that calling me? Calling loud. That is the meaning of walk in a manner worthy of that calling. That's a great calling. I know one of my colleague. He walked several weeks during the war of Vietnam to run away from there. Several weeks they walked and walked and walked, and they were seeing there are they digged pits, they're seeing the bodies. They were walking and walking. They completely lost their strengths. And you know what? When they came to US, when they got the SLM, they understood what is the meaning of that position. Okay. It's a great call. Paul writes, you walk in a manner worthy of that calling. Okay. And that's where this ecclesia, the word comes, the church. We are talking about what makes a church, a great church. See, ecclesia, out from to, and kaleo to call. Calling from, calling unto. People called out from the world unto God, that is the church. So to this church, regarding this church, what makes this church great? The marks of a great church. Three marks this evening for you to remember. Three marks. First, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 to 3. As we read this, let's read 1 to 3 here. Therefore, I, prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The first mark is, a church is a great church where humility and gentleness are given utmost priority. We have seen those four churches previously, the pictures. It's not about the structure. It's not about the physical structure. It's about what is there. And we see here the first mark, a church is a great church where humility and gentleness are given utmost priority. Paul, he's imploring them. He's sort of begging them. He's giving them, emphasizing, saying that you are called with a great calling. Walk worthily. How we can walk? In a great church, people walk with humility and gentleness. Humility and gentleness. So when we talk about humility and gentleness, it has a lot of parameters, a lot of angles to look at. You can bring your cultural aspects to this. You can bring your grown up when you are growing, how things you are brought up. Okay. But here, what is the meaning of humility and gentleness? I was caught up on this. Okay. For example, coming back coming from India, if you sit with crossing legs, it is considered you are a prideful person. But it is, as we grow, it's not. So let's see, what is this humility and gentleness? Biblically, what is the meaning of this? Let's see. Humility, it's a quality of a mindset of having a humble opinion of oneself. It's not the externals. It's having opinion, a humble opinion of oneself. How does it come, this opinion? Does it come from the jobs that we have? Does it come from the country that we live? Does it come from the position that we have? It's an inside-out virtue produced by looking into the Lord rather than to the others. This is the humility. By looking to the Lord. See, how the Lord takes us from these worldly standards. By looking to the Lord. Lord is the one who is the benchmark. Isaiah 66:2, we read that verse. For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I look. A great God is looking at someone. He's looking at some person. Who is that? To him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. That's the basis. When the word of God comes, are we trembling? When the word of God comes, are we giving respect? There are so many things in the world that comes to us. But when the word of God comes to us, are we ready to say, yes, Lord? That's the mark of a great church. Humility, where humility and gentleness, where it is given utmost priority. That's how people walk. Their walk is, it's like a left leg is humility, right leg is gentleness. See, humility is towards looking to the Lord and learning. And what is the gentleness? A quality of mildness of disposition. A mildness of disposition. In the church, we have different categories, right? We have kids. We have Sunday school children with various backgrounds, different age groups. When we're studying in college, we have a Christian fellowship. Around 40 students are there. We all come from a same background. Same background in the sense education. We think same way. There is no difference. We think in the same angle, based on our education and all those things. But when it comes to the church, we come across various cross sections. Okay. And here, we see the mildness of disposition, having that bottom line, how we are able to interact with people. For example, if I like philosophy, if I like technology, the other person may not like it or may not understand it. His position may be different. So how do we considerate others? How do we consider? That's inside out virtue of being considerate towards others. So humility is by looking to God and learning, and gentleness is considering others. Proverbs 15:1, we read, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A great church is a church where humility and gentleness are given utmost priority. We have seen churches just disappearing because of lack of these gentle answers. A harsh word stirs up anger, but a gentle word, a right word, how it brings peace. So this is the first mark of a great church. Walking with humility and gentleness, showing tolerance for one another, and being diligent to preserve this. So that's the first mark of a great church. Let's see the second mark. A church is a great church where the gifts are being used for equipping the saints. Let's read verses 4 to 12 here. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. From Psalm 68, this verse comes from there. It says, when he ascended in on high, he led captive a host of captive, and he gave gifts to men. Jesus on the cross, when he died for us, it's a picture of a conqueror taking these and giving gifts to his people. How he has gone into the death and how he has resurrected. How he has come back, ascended. What he is doing is, he is giving gifts to people, to the local church. And a church is a great church where these gifts are being used for equipping the saints. So, how we can equip people, think about these days. I can just click a YouTube and see 10 points. How to do this, how to do that. There are so many books, right? Self-help books, so many things. But here, the wisdom of God, we see here, the gifts given by Christ, how they are being used in the church. Let's see. 11th verse, he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. See these gifts, there is a triangular gift set here. Okay. We are in a research triangle park type, right? We are here, a triangular, these are the very powerful gifts. These are the primary gifts, come front, shown, it's clearly seen, the evangelists, pastors and teachers. In a church, if one person has all these three gifts, it's a very dynamite. If God gives all these three gifts to one person. But we see here, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Every one of us has gifts. And these gifts for equipping the saints, not for the selfish reasons. For example, if I'm preparing for this, I learn a lot of things. I get excited. I learn, oh, like this. But it is for the edification of the church. Primarily, it is for the edification of the church. You see, people taking these gifts and misusing, right? In the verse 12 here, we see, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So, we have seen, first one, a church is a great church where humility and gentleness are given utmost priority. And the second one we have seen, a church is a great church where the gifts are being used for equipping the saints. So, when God gives us these gifts, what do? We hide it under a bushel. Okay. We hide it or we dig a hole and hide it under it. We don't use that. Really, finding our gift and being useful to the local church is the best means of finding purpose in life. See here, 2 Timothy 1:6. It says, "For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you." To kindle afresh. Church is the best place to find out what your gift is. You cannot find by yourself, by as a church recognizing. So a great church is a church where humility and gentleness are given priority. And the second one is, a church is a great church where the gifts are being used for equipping the saints. So this year, you can take a decision. 2016, I want to really learn what is this gift. Okay. I want to learn what is this gift. We see a lot of Christians, right? Living in church for 10 years, 15, 20 years, 25 years. Still there only. But when they find their gift, when they become partakers of this ministry, then they will find the purpose of their life, the meaning. That's why Paul wrote this verse, kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you. In Romans 12:3, there is a verse, it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have same function, so in Christ we, though many, from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. It is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." See, when a local church operates like this, think about the joy, the growth. That's why we hear this verse, equipping of the saints for the work of service. These gifts are for the work of service. To the building up of the body of Christ. So this is a second mark of a great church. What is the first one? A church is a great church where humility and gentleness are given utmost priority. Second, a church is a great church where the gifts are being used for equipping the saints. Third, a church is a great church where believers keep maturing to the fullness of Christ. They keep maturing. They are not the same last year who they are. Verses 13 to 16. Verse 12 here. "For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." In a great church, we see believers keep maturing. They don't stand still where they are. in their spiritual lives, in their understanding of God. See, look at our workplaces. You join in the first year, second year, third year. As you grow, naturally you expect to grow in the ladder or go to the next level, right? But when it comes to our spiritual lives, we are where we are several times. See, once you associate to the local church where humility and gentleness are given priority and the gifts are being used, the maturity will follow. See, a church is a great church where believers keep maturing to the fullness of Christ. Let's see, what is this mature? Brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness or perfect. See, think about any job. If you are trying to do any work, we want to take breaks in between. That's fine. Okay. But our mindset, is it towards, are we ready to complete it or not? Okay. Here we see, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So we see a progression there. We see a progression. We are not stuck to the fullness of Christ, towards the image of Christ. We are being transformed towards that image. You take any great art, an artist or a sculptor, how much time he spends, how much time he looks at, re-looks at it, for its perfection. He tries again and again, again and again. And as a result, in verse 14, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. A non-mature person is like a child tossed here and there by the waves. It's like tossed between, see, some people when they're seeing TV, they're tossed between one channel to another channel. They can't stay in one channel, right? Just a minute. Next, go. Okay. And think about advertisements for kids. Those advertisements will come exactly what they want. Okay, what kids want. Okay. They're tossed here and there. There is poem. I will read this for you. All I really need to know, I learned in kindergarten. All I really need to know, I learned in kindergarten. Most of what I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sand pile at Sunday school. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you find them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that are not yours. Am I talking to kindergartners or adults? Say you are sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some. And draw and paint and sing and dance. And play and work every day some. This you may like. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands and stick together. Be aware of wonder. All I really need to know, I learned in kindergarten. But here it says, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Fifteen verse, it says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So a great church is a church where believers keep maturing. 2 years back, Murali is different from today's Murali. 5 years back, Murali is different. When I meet my school, college mates in India, hey, we cannot recognize that Murali and this Murali. So we need to keep maturing. We need to have the testimony from others. That's where the local church comes into picture. Where people maturing. See, in its church, local church, so many things will happen. Okay, we are coming as a group, as blood-bought children. So many things. There will be jealousies. There will be immaturities. How do we resolve these things? It's by living there. By the strength of the Lord. Because He has called us to that great calling. He called us. And He gave us strength. See, as we are seeing, maturity, the obstacles is wind of teaching, cunning and craftiness. These are the things happens. How we need to be aware. And the exhortation is, we are no longer to be children. We need to grow up. Maturity is a very key aspect for as a Christians. I remember missionary to India, Emmy Carmichael. I'll read one portion from her journal. She once penned these thoughts, Emmy Carmichael. She was a missionary to South India, Tamil Nadu. I remember those days, I heard people cannot walk. There are so many social issues. It's not only about idolatry. There are so many social issues. And in the midst of that, she goes there and she lives there. 51 years without break. Without break. And she dies there. And she writes this. Thinking of maturity, mature. Sometimes when we read the words of those who have been more than the conquerors, we feel almost despondent. I feel that I shall never be like that. But they won through step by step by little bits of wills, little denials of self, little inward victories by faithfulness in every little things, they became what they are. No one sees these little hidden steps. No one sees this. What are the struggles we go through? They only see the accomplishment, but even so, those small steps were taken. There is no sudden triumph, no spiritual maturity. That is the work of the moment. See, as Christians, we take granted of salvation. But we don't want to grow. We don't want to think about that maturity. William Carey, he mentioned, his work is like a plodding, every day going,
doing thing again and again, again and again. How do we get into that maturity? I was really wondering about this Emmy Carmichael. How she was able to go there, live there. It's not recent days. It's 1930s, 40s. Where did she get that strength inside? And she writes here, they only see the accomplishment. But you know what God takes us through inside? He gives us maturity. So a great church is a church where people keep maturing. For example, if our child is a small, we want to see him grown. He's only like 6 years, 7 years. He's getting mustache. He's not growing. He's like that only. We have concern, right? As parents, what's going on? So we see here in a church, believers keep maturing. A great church. Do you want to be part of that? Do you want to see God working in the midst of us? Do you want to see the Holy Spirit moving and empowering us, growing in love? See, the marks of a great church, Ephesians, the first one, a church is a great church where humility and gentleness are given an utmost priority. The second one, a church is a great church where the gifts are being used. God using those gifts. And third one, a church is a great church where believers keep maturing to the fullness of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful portion of the scripture. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to me, speaking to us. Lord, help us to realize this great calling. Help us to walk worthy of this calling, Lord. Dear Father, we look unto you. We need your grace and strength and help from you, Lord. Lord, help us to humble ourselves, Lord. As we have heard, help us, Lord, to give humility and gentleness a great importance in our lives, in our church. Lord, help us to realize that you have given us a gift. Help us to use it for your glory, Lord. Help us to fan that flame. Dear Lord, you strengthen us to mature. We fall many times, Lord, but we come back to you. Lord, we need your grace. Without you, we cannot move. We want your strength, Lord. Lord, we commit as an assembly, all of us, into your loving hands. Dear Father, we pray that thou might encourage us, Lord, in the coming days. Thou might use us for your glory. Yes, dear Father, we want to give back the honor, the glory, and the respect to you and you alone. Bless us and send us into this world. Bless this week. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' precious name we pray.